On today's Bachelor Party, we're just doing some odds and ends. I've got some more things to say about this week's episode, which we just need to examine a little bit more. Plus, big Kardashian news. So let's just get into it. Let's batch. Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. Tonight, really, I'm podcasting after dark, which isn't hard given that it's December and the sun sets around 4:30, wherever you may be in this fair country or anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere, really. I'm Juliette. I'm joined by Amelia Wedemeyer, who you may see on our Twitter feed and all the Bachelor Party feeds. Amelia, hello.
Hello. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well. I'm a little loopy. Who knows where this podcast will go?
I love that.
When the sun starts setting at like 3:30, I'm just like, shit, I need to get outside before it's dark. And then I'm like, my thought at that time is always, should I go get a baked good? And then sometimes I do it. Ooh. Sometimes I don't. For some reason, I'm just like, I need a cupcake.
That sounds amazing. From Magnolia? Or that's the only like New York place I know. Okay. All right. Never mind.
I knew that was based on Sex and the City. Magnolia is good though. They've got really good banana pudding.
Ooh, oh my God. I love banana pudding. Oh, I just love pudding. But me okay, too. Sorry. Yeah, anyway.
All right, Amelia, where are you at this season? Do you like it? We haven't really talked about it in a while. 1v1.
Yeah, you know, okay. So I thought it couldn't get much worse than the whole Dale and Claire story show, if you will. But I'll be honest with you, and I've talked about this with several Ringer employees, and I don't mean to call them out, but no.
Name them.
Well, Dylan Berkey, who does the video stuff with me, and
he produces No Rose, All Thorn. All Thorn,
exactly.
No Rose,
All Thorn. It's, no I Rose, mean, All we can Thorn. Do either or, but he's so smart and he's so right. It's just it's an exhausting season. And I also talked to Jason Gallagher about this too. And he too thinks it's an exhausting season. And honestly, it is. And I'm not trying to take away from any of the conversations that people have had, but I do think there's a way to go about these conversations. And they're just not doing all of them in the manner in which I wish they would.
Yes. And so do you, by these conversations, do you mean like the men explaining to Tayshia their various previous trauma that they've suffered and sort of like sharing that as a way of like letting her know who they are?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mal and I had a long catch up about The Bachelorette, which happens to be this week's episode on
Tuesday.
Love
that episode. Yeah. Well, love
Mallory's
Mal, but
the
yeah.
best. Yes. Love Mallory.
She's great.
And, you know, we talked about it. I think as I thought about it more and more this week's episode and combined with the previous, I think there just feels like something really cheap in the way that these guys' stories are being told. And that's not a reflection of them.
Not at all.
Or Tayshia at all. I really admire Ben and Zach and Riley and really everyone. Everyone, I think, has really bared themselves. I mean, and Ivan, of course, like, you know, yeah. Ivan, it's brave to speak the words
about
police brutality and George Floyd on the show where it's like
completely.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So really, I don't think this is on them at all. But I think the like boom, boom, boom of hearing these really intense, traumatic stories of what these men have endured. Just is like at best distasteful and like at worst, like really damaging and actually not helpful. And
totally.
I think that there's like, you know, there's always a fun in watching the show, sort of the way that like in a very like high schoolish way where you sort of like can't look away. And it's like all these people who, you know, you're like part of the joke of like making fun of them. But I think the last 2 weeks in particular have really tested like the fun of the show because there's been real life stuff to contend with. And I was really thinking about it with Ben. I mean, for Ben to reveal that he's attempted suicide twice. Fairly recently.
Right.
It's such a big deal. And
totally.
I don't think I really processed it at first. Like I thought about it more and I just like, it's the kind of conversation that the Bachelorette is not really capable of like really doing justice to and like really sussing out. And like, I really admire him for sharing and obviously he's taking care of himself. And I was really glad he talked about his therapy, but it's just like hard to get this information in this package and then just kind of like move on to like the next one.
Definitely. And I felt weird that they had no like trigger warning about this kind of thing that was going to be talked about, because that's a very serious issue. And it was just treated as if it was like, okay, great, this is like a conduit for her to say, wow, you've opened up so much.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be the whole entire point of the story. Like, you shouldn't have to go through this really traumatic event and share it to be like, well, we're really connected because you shared your trauma with me. It's just, especially because it's like on a national stage, he even said like the closest person in his family is his sister. He hadn't even shared that with her.
Right.
And I felt like he was almost pressured to be, and I don't want to put any words in his mouth or anything, but it felt like he felt pressured to spill all this information just to get like a, well, now you've opened up, thank you for doing so.
Yeah. And it becomes like a shorthand for connection because they don't have time, right? So it's like, because you don't have the time to like get to know each other. Like, you don't have the time to like wait 10 days, which I think is a totally permissible amount of time to be like, yeah, I had fun. Let's try this runner back. Let's try this again. Like, they have to compress it. And so they like sort of have to tell their full story so that like Tayshia and they have the information to know, like, do we want to pursue something together? Because like, not only does she need to know who they are, but I think if you're someone who suffered a trauma or like some just like, you know, some life event, you want to know how your significant other like will respond to it and handle it, and like what kind of
totally
supportive partner they'll be. I think the other thing that's also like troubling, and I felt this really a lot during the group date where Ben stripped, was like,
oh,
sorry. I know.
Just like, oh God.
I just feel like there's like an escalation, right? Where it's like you have to like one up someone with like your trauma. And they are not to be compared. And everyone, it's just like, it's just very perverse.
No, totally. And I feel as if, you know, and I do applaud that they had the Black Lives Matter conversation that they
absolutely
took,
huge deal.
You know, a great care, I think, with, and they stayed on it for an appropriate amount of time. I mean, honestly, they could have done it longer, but I understand. But it's just like, I feel like they kind of breezed by this whole like, okay, well, he tried to commit suicide twice, and then here's a suicide prevention hotline number. And it's just like, that deserves more time devoted to that. Or also, like, don't even do it.
It's also a lot to put on Tayshia. Like,
oh, 100%.
Yeah. That's a good point, though. You don't have to air it. But then if you don't air it, it's like, what is their date? Because they are using this as a shorthand. There's no clear way out of this. I think what bothers me the most is really the way there's like becomes this impulse to like compare trauma. And maybe that's just my own impulse, but I do think that was like presented in a way where it was like, because they're competing for Tayshia, like their stories become like part of the competition. And that's like really gross. And
it totally is.
It's tough. It took a real It was like, it was fun having Tayshia because the guys seemed so excited about her. And like, there was a lot of joy. I felt like joy has become like my touch point. I'm like in desperate search of joy in COVID. So I just like talk about it all the time.
Which you should watch The Unicorn. I know I've told you.
I
that
know
already,
you keep telling me to watch it. I got to watch that.
It's very delightful.
What is it about?
It's about a widowed man who has to raise his two daughters by himself, but also has like these really fun friends. He has two like couples that are his friends, and they
is
just like
on Netflix.
Yes, the first season is on Netflix.
Is it Canadian?
No, it's a CBS show with Walton Goggins.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah.
I don't like Walton Goggins. He's like a cult figure, and I feel like Chris Ryan might defriend me over that, but I just don't really like Walton Goggins. Also, I always think he's a villain. Is he playing a nice guy?
Oh, he's the main character nice guy. His whole thing is that he's a unicorn that these women are like, whoa, I've never met someone who's available and nice and amazing. So, yeah, I think he looks like Jim Carrey in The Mask a little bit.
Jim Carrey in The Mask. Yeah, it's just been, I think also when you consider the conditions of this season where like presumably, even if these guys weren't all like very strictly quarantining before they got to Palm Springs, they were forced to quarantine out the La Quinta, and now they're like in this bubble, and everything just becomes so intense and heightened.
Yes,
and you saw Zach crying, right? Like, I really related to that. He probably feels a lot of pressure. It probably feels really intense, and it just seems like a lot. To quote Tayshia.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Iconic art lesson, Tayshia. I think that with the whole outside circumstances with COVID, it's so, like, you want to know how your family is doing, and it's so hard. And I always make fun of the people on Survivor because they're like, they're gone for 30 days, but, or 39 days, but they break down when they see their family members. But, like, I get it. Like, I understand. And, you know, and you're in this closed environment and there's like a pandemic going on, and it's like you're not getting any outside information. That would be such like an isolating, scary situation to be in. So I totally get them being emotional. Yeah,
I know. I do too. And I think Sasha's handling the best that she can.
Totally.
Just I don't know how you're supposed to navigate that. You know, it's very tricky. It's very, very tricky.
100%.
Who do you like, Amelia? I'm curious. Like, we haven't talked about who some of your faves are. Even people who are departed.
Even people who are departed. Wow. Well,
I'm just curious. Like, I'm curious who people are gravitating to this season, because there's been so many guys, and Tayshia's front runners are very clear, I think. But yeah. I think there's a lot of other dudes to assess. Like, I've come around on Spencer. I feel like I was really mean about him. I hated him.
Me too.
I hate him based on like stereotypes, but I actually think he seems like kind of a nice guy.
Yeah, no, I totally get when you're talking to Nora about how you could meet him at any like bar in Santa Monica. I was like, well, maybe I'll go back to LA one day and meet Spencer at a bar, because I liked when he was a good narrator. Like, he wasn't like trying to be funny or anything, but it was just like, hey, yeah, Blake talks about sex a bunch. And I was like, I get that. Okay, cool. Thank you, Spencer, for being that narrator. I like Spencer. I liked him. I'm very shocked that she didn't pick him, because he is the first guy since, I think, 2013, 2014, that hasn't received the first impression rose and gone on to the final four.
Yeah, I know.
Which is wild.
By the way, have you followed Bachelor Data?
Oh, no, but I know I've looked at it.
There's some great, great stats on there that this one young woman puts together. She just does it manually. She sits at her computer and tabulates it up. It's like pretty impressive.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, I'm going to have to look at it.
I know. But I think she put together a similar timeline, which is why I bring it up.
Yes.
He seems like he's just like here for a good time, not a long time. And that's okay. I feel like that's fine.
You need
a vibe guy in the house.
So true, with his like little Hawaiian shirt or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Wearing. Yeah.
Exactly.
We stan. I don't mean to embarrass you or anything, but I wasn't the only one who said, wow, Juliet and Joe had a moment. I literally got DMs. Me personally got DMs. Because they know that I run the Bachelor Party Twitter account and the Instagram account. And I got DMs from people being like, Juliet and Joe?
I too got a lot of feedback on that interview, and yeah. I think it was well received. Really nice guy. I just like,
yeah, you do have a great chemistry. I'm sorry, but yeah,
thank you. I appreciate it. I don't even know what to say to that. I will say, I'm like worried. Like, I was like, I just feel like if you are an anesthesiologist in like a second wave of COVID,
yeah,
it's like really intense. Just hope the Dr. Joe's okay.
Well, I mean, me too. But yes,
it's not funny. It's just like,
no, it's not. It's not.
I know. It's like, this is like uncomfortable laughter. It's like, it's like such like, but it's like so, so real. I think that like also really put it in perspective for me. I was like, these guys moved into the bubble.
Totally.
Like coming from like a crazy world. No idea like what they were going to go back to. And it was actually really funny when he was like, yeah, I thought like I would just probably miss like COVID and the election. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's basically right.
Sure.
Yeah. Hope Dr. Joe's doing great and staying sane. It has to be really, really hard as the second wave is taking hold.
But absolutely wild. But
he's a fan favorite. That's why I'm so worried about him going on Paradise.
I know. The thing is, and he's Korean American. I'm Korean American. So I'm just like, yes. Like the one Korean American on a reality show.
I totally get it. When there's a Jewish person, I'm just like, this is great.
Yeah, exactly. So I love the response from people to Joe because he's a great guy. But obviously, yes, he's gone. So him and Spencer, I really liked. I really like Jason, who is also gone.
I like Jason too. I'm also worried about Jason's well-being. I'm like, is he okay?
Yeah,
I think right. He is. I read a Q&A with him, so I think he's doing fine. But he was like really upset.
He was heartbroken, and I was like, damn, Claire, that's rude. Yeah, I don't know. But from the guys that are there, obviously, I love Ivan. I think Ivan is so smart and sweet. And just like a good guy. And he's super handsome. So love Ivan. I was also really sad about Damar. I really like Damar. I was
Me
like,
too. We're going to get Damar on this podcast. If it's the last thing I do in 2020. I haven't gotten a yes on that, but I'm going to make it happen because I want to do a bachelor quiz with him since apparently he knows so much.
And he's so freaking funny. Like what he had that line when he's like, I went to ASU and I know how to spell limousine. And then he also said,
I know we love a self-effacing bachelorette contestant.
Yeah. And I loved his song to Tayshia too. I thought he should have won, honestly. So it was sad to see him go because he was really fun. But I also really like from the people who are still there. So Ivan and Brendan. I love Brendan.
Brando.
He's just a nice dude.
Brando.
He's just a nice guy. You know, I'm just like, sure, why not?
Yeah, he, I don't know. It's a good group of guys. This mm-hmm. direction of slightly older and also like, I guess I've looked into a bunch of them. It seems like they were recruited in different ways. And many of them, they like actively recruited instead of using like the kind of like pool of applicants they've had in the past. And you can tell it makes a big difference. I'm really into it. One thing I learned about Bennett is that he's a recruiter in the finance field.
Oh,
and
wow.
That like really changed my opinion of Bennett. I thought that he was like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, me too.
And while I'm not judging at all, mm-mm. I was like, that's not the role I imagined him having. I thought he was like a financial shark. And he's right. He's just something a little bit different. And I was like, oh, interesting. Okay.
Totally. This is news to me. I'm shocked, but
I know,
yes.
I know. Didn't you think he was like a trader walking across the stock exchange floor every day?
Yeah, wearing like suspenders. Yes, of course.
Yeah, I just was like, oh, interesting information, but he seems to be doing well. How did you feel about Bennett? You pro or con? I feel like you wouldn't be into him. He's not your type.
I was like, yeah, Bennett, he's funny, but now I'm just like, oh, God, like we get it. We understand. You're smart. Like I and then he did the whole rude gift to Noah, which was upsetting and not okay. And I was just like,
the whole gift thing was really
it was
dumb.
Wild.
I know. There was, you know, when Tayshia said, like, what's in the box? Like, you don't even, like that was clearly a pickup. And yeah. It's just stupid.
It was a pickup. Oh my God. Like the biggest pickup. It was like the Cheetah Girls
it's
movie.
It's like Top Chef level when you hear Padma's voiceover. It's very obvious.
What's in the box? Yeah, exactly. And I thought that also he never addressed him being a cowboy. I was like, what? Can we get more about you being a cowboy?
Yeah, it was just like, it was just weird. Although apparently Noah was very nice on Bachelor Happy Hour. And, you know, he's been nurse during COVID. So shout out to him, I guess.
Good for him.
I will like remember this group of guys as like a really fun bunch in totality. But the only ones that I really like want to know more about, like really are Ivan and Dr. Joe. Like those are the only two.
Sure. No, I get that. There's more to them. There's substance to them for sure.
I also feel that Ivan... Everyone's talking about Bennett's IQ. I felt this the whole way. Joe's a doctor and Ben and Ivan is a rocket scientist. It's an aeronautical engineer. They have to have very high IQs as well. So why are we not discussing that? I don't get it.
Oh my God. It's actually crazy. Exactly. I don't understand, but okay. I think it's just because Bennett went to Harvard and Harvard is just Harvard. So we're all like, okay. Bah. So
I guess so. it just doesn't make sense. But whatever. I see you guys. I know you're all smart. It's cool. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of them were. It's great. I also just can't believe that there's only a few episodes left. So next week, just programming note. Apparently the Monday episode is the conclusion of this rose ceremony and then the men tell all, which I just hate. I hate the men tell all. So stupid. you don't learn anything, right? Especially now that also everyone does podcasts. Like they go on a podcast tour. Like you don't learn anything new.
That's true. It's that's
we've learned everything there is to know about, you know, Spencer.
Well, they can't break those NDAs. And
yeah, if they
want
to go to Paradise, they have to follow the rules.
Exactly. Or if they don't want to be sued by Luke, like Luke P.
Yeah.
He got sued for a lot of money.
I know he did. So you just don't learn anything good. And then after that, it is allegedly like hometowns, like meeting the family. Mm. I don't even know what that means.
I don't understand what's going to happen, but excited to see.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have a Zoom call with their families, you know? It'll be like really awkward. They'll be like, oh, you talk first. Oh, what?
I hope there's a family that wouldn't agree to come. That's my hope. They're just like, sorry, we won't travel with COVID. It would be totally legit.
It would be. I would totally understand. I would probably do the same thing. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. Yeah, completely. Some news came out today, completely unrelated to The Bachelor, but related to reality TV, that I wanted to discuss with you, get your take on. Kris Jenner announced on her own social media, the Jenner Kardashian clan has a deal with Hulu starting in 2021. This is a huge coup for Hulu, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely wild. Liz Kelly shared this in a little tea time Slack, and this blew my mind. I mean, like, I should have known already, like, this family is always scheming. Like, Kris Jenner is an evil genius. But I'm just, like, kind of shocked that they're going to leave E! For Hulu. I mean, good for them and good for Hulu. But this is, I really thought this was going to be the end of the reality TV for the Kardashians, but it's not.
I was hoping it was, so I'm really disappointed. Kourtney Kardashian tweeted hashtag Hulu 2021, and Kris tweeted,
"Is wild."
I mean, that's just not a thing. Kris tweeted, "Excited to announce our new multi-year partnership with Hulu and Star, and what's to come in 2021." So does Star mean Star Magazine?
Oh my God! I thought she maybe misspelled Stars. Like the channel Stars.
Interesting.
But I mean, I don't know. I just think because I only know that because I know Stars has a deal with Hulu because.
Interesting.
I know that Party Down, which is an old Stars show.
I love Party Down.
Me
it's
too.
A great
such,
show.
Such a good show is all on Hulu. So I know that. But that's just me making random
breaking
connections.
News. Star is a network outside of the U.S. It's a streaming network.
Okay. Well,
so Hulu's the U.S. home and Star is everywhere else. I can't imagine how much they got.
I mean, I don't even want to imagine because it's so much. And Ryan Seacrest must be so angry.
Oh, my God. He has to be so pissed. He's like, I built you guys up. And
exactly with
this.
My Ryan Seacrest Productions. Yes.
Although it's mostly Kris. But like, what stories That's are there true. Still to tell? You know, like, I don't care about Chloe and Tristan. Do you?
No, it's exacerbated. Like, I just think it's very interesting that some of these shows, never really found an audience when you think like, oh, they should have, because like Life of Kylie. Do you remember Life of Kylie?
Of course.
Yes. That lasted for maybe one season. I know it didn't last for two seasons. I don't even know if it got the full season treatment, but that never took off. And she is the most popular of them because she
is
has
she
more followers.
Interesting though? Like, does she talk?
Well, that's just the thing.
Like, I feel like 22 year olds.
She's not interesting. She's so like, boring. But that's, it's like, am I going to watch a show about Kylie? No, I'm just going to watch her Instagram, if anything. And I think that people forget that there have been a lot of spinoffs from these shows that haven't done well. Like the Dash Dolls series didn't mm-hmm. do well. Like Kris Jenner had a series where it was like, make me a star, Kris Jenner. That didn't do well. I'm even willing to bet that Kim's like A&E series about her doing like law.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it came and went. It literally came and went. And I think that the heyday of the Kardashians, like when they took New York and they took Miami and when the best seasons of the Kardashians were happening was way back in like 2010, 2012.
Right. Like, yeah, it was a long time ago before they were mega famous. This is Amanda and I were discussing this on Jam Session with Vanderpump. Like that show was a lot better when they were really aspirational and they were like wanting to be famous, but weren't there yet. And as they get like too big for the format, it's just not entertaining because it feels so forced and fake.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of people, I mean, and myself included, not that I've done it a lot, but you'll just be scrolling for something to watch and you'll be like, okay, fine, Kardashians. Because I know in the back of my mind, I've seen funny episodes of them. So why not? And that's why I would click on them on E or whatever. And I don't know if people will actually willingly set out to be like, I'm going to watch the Kardashians on Hulu.
I know. Because like part of it was like you had E because you had cable or your parents had cable or whatever.
Right.
And so now
the basic cable. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you signing up for Hulu to engage in Kardashian content when so much of it is also on their social media? And it seems like their products is like what actually people really care about these days, not them.
Totally. No, 100%. It's like their makeup. So, and you know what? I'm not going to lie to you guys. I have bought a Kylie palette. Yeah. Yes. And I don't want it to. It was
a lip kit?
No. Well, actually, this is embarrassing. But a few years ago, I waited at the, it was the mall in, Canoga Park. Because she had a pop-up and I got something for my mom and my sister because I knew they would really like it. So I got them a lip kit and then I bought her collaboration with her with Kris Jenner because she's an evil genius.
She is an evil genius. It hurts me and pains me to say that, but I'm ready to admit it all of these years later that Kris Jenner is a genius. I just like despise her.
She's a great businesswoman. She's evil, but she's a great businesswoman. She's ready to pimp out her children. But
it's just terrible. But yes, I mean, it is. She's very successful, very savvy at what she does.
No, totally. And so I'm not doing it again, but I will say that I have bought their products. I know people who have bought their products. And it's just one of those things where it's like, they definitely are reliant more so on the makeup line, the, you know, Skims or whatever.
Yeah.
And everything else is kind of damage control in a way. Like, I think Keeping Up with the Kardashians became a huge damage control for them. And that's evident in like Kendall apologize. I hate Kendall, but.
Why? Why is she the worst?
She is the worst just because she has no talent.
She's a model.
She's a model.
She's hot. She is really pretty. Although I feel like Dua Lipa looks so much like her, but so much more beautiful. Like just so much more beautiful. Yeah.
And honestly, I'm willing to say that like someone like Bella Hadid, I think, is stunning. And Kendall Jenner.
Bella
is just,
or Gigi?
No, Bella Hadid. Yeah.
Oh no. Amelia.
I think Kendall. I'm just like, I've seen 20 million girls who look like you. Like, we get it. I don't know. I think she's an idiot and I don't like her. She's a brat.
I think that her face, I don't really know what it looks like because she hasn't been in a show for a while because of COVID. And
sure,
every photo is so face-tuned and like every paparazzi shot is so 100%. Airbrushed or whatever. It's like, I don't know what these people really look like. Chloe is the biggest offender. Although I will say the product I'm most interested in is Good American, her jeans, or the jeans that she endorses. I've heard those are good. I mean, partially from Ashley Iaconetti, who posts about it on Instagram.
Love Ashley. I totally like,
but I believe it.
Ashley's really nice. I was talking to Dylan about this. I was like, I stan Ashley, I, and Jared because they are very nice people.
They are really nice people. And also, like, they're two people who were meant to be together. I really believe it. The way they wear those matching Dunkin' Donuts sweats. And that they just are constantly doing like dress up and like Disney sing-alongs together.
I'm into it.
It's not the marriage I would want, but it's really sweet. Like, it's really nice when people find each other. And I think it's so adorable. And like, I'm really happy for them. Like, yeah, really happy.
Also, what a story. Like, what a trial and tribulation. And we met them at some bachelor, right before COVID hit, actually. And they were so nice. And they were like, we love Juliet. We love Bill. We love The Ringer. They were so nice.
They are really nice people. And I'm not just saying that because they like us, but they are so genuine. And I think they're happy, by the way. Like, a lot of people in Bachelor Nation, I think, are not necessarily that happy, but like, I think they're happy with each other.
Totally.
And like, it's really beautiful. I wish them the absolute best.
No, it's so funny because we met them and they were just, and like, I could have been lying and been like, yes, bachelor party and ringer. But they were so nice. Ashley, I was like, turns to Dylan, and I'm going to embarrass Dylan because I know he listens to this podcast. But she was like, you look like James Franco. And she was just
God.
Like, yeah,
whoa.
She was like kind of hitting on Dylan. And I was like, get it.
Well,
but
she's
also
married,
like,
but okay.
Right. Yeah. But they're so nice. They didn't have to be that nice.
They endorse good American jeans. The ones that Khloe Kardashian also endorses. So maybe like slightly interested. They used to have that mall at the store at the Americana Mall in Glendale.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it closed though, but
a pop up.
I just really thought we were done with Kardashians on TV. Clearly I was foolish. That was wishful thinking.
Yeah.
And now we have so much more coming. I'm curious to see what the programming is though. They can't just run it back with Keeping Up because that was falling off. So I wonder if it's going to be like a bunch of different shows. I'm also curious. I legitimately think that Kim is really into her legal life. And
maybe, I don't know if I believe that, but yeah, you can believe that.
Maybe that'll be part of the TV. I don't know. I've got a lot of questions, but I think this is a huge coup for Hulu.
I think that they're going to do, I think Courtney, because she's like best friends with Addison Rae, which is a little weird to me, but I think there will be like a Courtney Addison Rae show, which is interesting that Courtney was like pro. Yes. Kardashians moved to Hulu when she was like, I don't want to be a part of Keeping Up with the Kardashians anymore. So it's just like, interesting.
Interesting. So she knew there was greener pastures ahead.
Exactly. And it's like, why else would you hang out with a 20-year-old when you're like 41 with three kids? I just don't get that's a little weird to me.
I agree. Bennett would agree as well.
Yes, exactly.
On the topic of the Kardashians and reality TV, what about Scott Disick dating Amelia Hamlin of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fame? I mean, she's quite young.
She is like 19.
He's a father of three.
He is a father of three. That is true. Did you see that he like called out some guy on Love Island?
I did not. God, Scott is just getting his talons into so many reality franchises. Jesus,
yes.
Scott. He's looking. He's throwing something out and seeing what sticks.
I know. Which, you know what? I applaud. I applaud that.
I think I've said this before. I've only seen one full episode of The Kardashians. It's when they went to Thailand.
Wow.
Literally only one. They went to Thailand.
I don't even remember that.
Khloe, there was like, I think it was like right before she got divorced from Tristan.
Or you mean Lamar?
Was it Lamar?
She was never married to Tristan.
I know they weren't married before they got separated, perhaps.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. Anyway. I know that Scott's supposed to be really entertaining, but I just despise him. I only like the jokes about him. Like, I like the Lord Disick jokes and the American Psycho jokes. He would have been a great Bachelorette contestant, honestly. Unfortunately, he ended up in the Kardashian world, but he would have been like the GOAT contestant on the show.
He would have been like in the vein of Bennett and Jordan, et cetera, et cetera. Scott is just a train wreck. And he is not a good person, but I like, you know, when you just like, sometimes you watch people and you're like, I know as a fact that you are not a good person and I shouldn't like you, but there's something about you. You're very like memeable, you're very quotable. That's Scott Disick. And he has some great moments from the first few seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And there was a part and a way about him that like kind of, I mean, didn't, I don't want to say it kept them grounded, but he would bring up things that they would all be like, oh, okay.
And he just didn't play the game. So.
Exactly.
He would and force them into uncomfortable spots.
Exactly.
I haven't watched it. It's just about understanding.
No, that's exactly what he did. And it's very funny. And like, there's this one moment that everyone quotes is like, when Kim was like, oh my God, we got a free yoga membership. And he was like, oh yeah, like you could never afford that or something. You know, he just calls them on their bullshit, which I appreciate. But now he's like, you know, he's making his talentless clothing line. He's dating 19-year-olds. And it's just like, oh my God.
Just want more for yourself, man. Although I don't know what Scott Disick ever wanted for himself, but he really should have been like the paradise bartender. Although I will say, Hulu and ABC are both part of Disney. So maybe there can be a crossover.
Oh,
we can't rule
that.
It out at this point. I mean, who knows?
That's
I'm sure
true.
They watch. We do. They do. They tweet about it. I think Kim tweets about The Bachelorette. So.
Oh yeah. Because she had that FaceTime with Chris Harrison. So.
Yes, exactly.
Love that.
So, you know, perhaps there's some kind of future. It's just that's just a really big deal in the reality TV landscape, which we keep tabs of here. And it's a big, I think it's a big deal for Hulu.
It's wild. And maybe there will be. And I don't mean to be like, OK, also, here's another thing about Hulu, but they do have a lot of the Real Housewives seasons, mm-hmm. like older seasons.
And Love Island. They've got old Love Island, I think.
Exactly. Which is like, Netflix, get it together. But yeah, so it's just interesting that Scott is now kind of in the Real Housewives conversation.
He's the master of Hulu.
Yeah, Scott Disick. You look up the masters of Hulu. Scott Disick. Yeah. So I guess happy. Well, I don't want to say happy for him because that's a little predatory and weird, but it's interesting. Sure. I mean, you know what?
Good luck, everybody. Good luck.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
I won't be watching the shows, but I'm curious to see what they do.
Oh, I will be watching the shows. So
right,
I'll
great.
Let you know.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anytime.
Last thing for today. Amelia, who is your prediction for who Tayshia picks?
Oh, my God. I think Tayshia is going to pick Brendan.
Brendo. Nice.
Brendo. Yeah, 100%. He's just like a nice dude.
He seems great. I love Brendo. He's my favorite. He's my favorite for Tayshia. Ivan is my favorite in a vacuum. I think she picked Zach. There was just something about the way she snuggled into his arm.
Okay.
That I think she picked Zach. That's my take. I feel like the wedding photo shoot was like a big deal. And I think she's just into that guy.
Yeah, I feel like she's going to pick a guy who has been married before, and that kind of narrows it down.
Zach or Brendo.
To Zach or Brendo. And there was, when she went on that first date, first one-on-one with Brendan, she was like, I feel like I can marry this guy. Like, he might be my person. And I was like, wow.
I know. He seems so goofy. That's why I really like him. I love a goofball.
Like, but she loves a goofball too. She loves
JPJ. It's one of the most endearing qualities. Yeah. No, she really does.
He's just a sweet man. And nothing, you know,
I think the ringer loves Brendo. Like, I just feel like he's like, he's everyone's pick. We all love him. What's not to love?
No, truly, there's nothing not to love about the guy. He's very sweet and just a good person. And I just, the moment he was like, you know, I may not be the most good-looking guy or, you know, the smartest guy, but I'm well-rounded. that's not sexy, but it was just like, yes. It's just so sweet and relatable and just, I don't know. I really like him. I think he's a good guy. So,
I agree. All right. Well, Brendo and Zach, we've got our eye on you. Next week, we're doing three episodes. Yeah, we are. We're doing
I love
three.
That. I can't
Monday,
wait.
We got to talk about the Men Tell All, which I think I said I historically hate, but got to do it. Tuesday, sure. Hometowns. Thursday, B-side. Three times next week, people. Hopefully, I'll be entertaining and we'll get some good guests. We'll see. Amelia, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank
you. And everyone have a great weekend.